You might want to keep that John passage open, John 8, and it can be found on page 1073. Life seems to me to be fairly busy. I keep thinking that next week or next month, life will quieten down. There'll be some space, I'll be able to choose what I want to do. And then something happens at work, or with my parents, or a hospital appointment, or I fix up to visit someone, and then all of a sudden, what looked like a lighter week has become really full and busy again. I'm just grateful that we've got this service, otherwise I could have been in the co-op every night this week till 8. Instead of just 5 nights. I just keep thinking that over the horizon, a slower day is going to come. But it's just an illusion. It never does. But I don't think I'm unique. We all have the potential, don't we, to fill up our time. But I need to make time for the things that are important to me. We all need to make time for the things that are important to us. And making this time to slow down, to pause, to reflect on what really matters, doesn't just happen. We need to work at it and we need to make it a priority. And Lent can offer us that time. A time to get rid of those things that easily distract us. A time to examine our lives and come before God in all honesty and in all humility. Asking him to show us the things that we need to repent of, the things that we need to turn away from. And the things that we need to turn to so that we are aware of God's priorities for our lives. In that gospel reading about the woman caught in adultery, we see that Jesus detaches himself from the confrontation. He stoops down and he writes in the sand. He takes some space before he says anything at all. He doesn't allow himself to be drawn into the argument. He's not going to take it on their terms. That's not to say that being involved in confrontations is wrong. But sometimes, if we want to see clearly, we need to step back. We need to take a deliberate action to distance ourselves in order to see the real issue. I'm always, always fascinated when I read this passage. Where was the man? How can a woman be caught in adultery if there wasn't a man about? And if so, why didn't they arrest him as well? You see, these Jewish leaders were pretending to be righteous. They were pretending to be law-abiding. But they weren't really. They were out to try and get Jesus. They themselves were going to break the law if they stoned the woman, because the law demanded that both parties of adultery were stoned. And you can read that in Leviticus 20 and Deuteronomy 22. So they were putting themselves above the law. And they were using this woman as a trap. If Jesus had said that the woman shouldn't be stoned, they would then accuse him of violating Moses' law. And if he urged them to execute her, they would report him to the Romans, who didn't permit Jews to carry out their own executions. Of course, Jesus is aware of their trap, and his answer certainly takes them by surprise. Jesus was able to answer in a way that upheld the law and yet also showed compassion and forgiveness. Again, according to the law in Deuteronomy 17, the witnesses were required to cast the first stone. And so Jesus agrees to the law being carried out, but only by those who had not sinned themselves and were without sin. And of course, when they thought about it, not one of those teachers and Pharisees were sinless. They realized it, and one by one they left. But I wonder how quick are we sometimes to judge others, while perhaps ignoring our own sin. I wonder how often we focus on other people and their wrongdoing, rather than looking to ourselves and realizing how far we fall short of God's standard. Because I do. Every one of us falls short of God's standard. Jesus didn't condemn the woman, but he did tell her to stop sinning. He loved her. He loved her even though she was a sinner, but he hated the sin that she was committing. And that applies to each one of us today. Jesus loves us so much. We know he died on the cross for us. He came to the world. He didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save us. But he hates the sin, and each one of us is guilty. And sin puts that barrier between us and God. And so spending time afresh before God during Lent, asking him to show us where we're getting it wrong, opening our hearts and our minds to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to know where God wants us to change, is a good use of our time. And we probably need to change our lifestyles. I certainly need to make sure that I am not so busy. We need to change our lifestyle in some way to enable us to have this time to come before God. Fasting, going without food, or cutting down on the amount of TV that we watch each day, getting up earlier, perhaps, in the morning, are all extra ways that we can just create some time. Perhaps attending those meditations that Hannah and Morph are leading on a Wednesday evening would be helpful times. Perhaps for those of us who are into email, there are various things you can sign up to where you receive Bible passages and actions. But we all need to individually work out how we are going to set this time aside so that we can refocus on God and his ways. We need to confess and repent. We need to recognise the areas where we fall short. And we must want to turn away from those things. But God does forgive us. He does wipe the slate clean. Like the tax collector in the temple, we need to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And just like that tax collector, we will be justified. In Psalm 51 that we read together, we see David coming before God in confession and repentance after he'd committed adultery with Bathsheba. It had taken a very brave Nathan to point this out to David, and there were going to be consequences for David. But because David repented because he came before God and repented, God forgave him. And when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt, they used those hyssop branches to put the blood of the lambs on their doorposts, and that protected them and kept them safe from death. And for David, being cleansed with the hyssop will keep him from a spiritual death and separation from God, and lead him further in God's ways. And so all the time that we look to God and ask for his forgiveness, ask for his cleansing, it's right to spend that time doing that. But we also need to be aware of actually where God wants us and what he wants us to do. We need to be outward looking as well as inward looking. And that Isaiah reading that we had shows us what God's ways are. He wants us to reach out to others with acts of kindness, with charity, with justice, and with generosity. We are not saved by our deeds, but our faith lacks sincerity if we don't reach out to others. And so our faith needs to show in the way that we choose to live our lives. And as we've been thinking about fruitfulness on our front lines in our weekly sermon series, that's one way of helping us to refocus on how we share God, how we share the gospel with those that we meet. So during this Lent, let's make time to recognise our sin and confess it to a loving, holy God, because he will cleanse us and he will make us holy. But also, let's be open to going God's ways in the way that we love our neighbour. God wants us to apply his word to his world. Amen.